Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, verses 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. A word from our Holy Scripture. In preparing for this sermon this week, I felt like I got a mini lesson in vineyard horticulture. In Alberta, I've been exposed to plenty of farm life that includes grain crops, ranching, dairy cattle. I have extended family that are involved in farming, but never before vineyards. So this was new to me. I had to do some research to try and put the gospel reading into context and make sense for myself. Any vineyard growers here? Anyone with experience in vine growing and tending? Good, because then you can't contradict me. I really did do research on this, so hopefully I've got my facts straight. In learning about vineyards and vine growing, I almost decided to call this sermon title, Ouch. But I thought it would be kind of strange if some historian someday was looking back on the pastoral charges sermon titles and saw that title of Ouch. They might wonder what that was all about. But if you know a little bit about vineyard care and vine propagation, perhaps you can guess why I might have thought of that title. So I went to YouTube and I started looking at videos of growing vines and how to do it well. And as you know, YouTube can be kind of a black hole once you get into it. So I watched quite a few different videos. I found this one that was quite informative, and it's not that long, so I'd like to share it with you now. He's going to play it for us.
So approximately 2 weeks ago, these vines were cut off. They literally cut off the tops of the vines and disposed of the cordons and the
wood and the trimmings and everything. And they basically let the vine just kind of sit there for a little bit. And as the time frame goes on, the bark starts to slip at the cambium. The cambium layer becomes very, is where we want to put the graft. And it's basically just putting a bud on top of the cambium layer, so the cambium and the new bud have to adhere to each other and callus, and that's where it'll start. We know this vine is still obviously alive, even though there's no fruit, no big canopy on it, but that gives a chance for this to heal, to callus, and to start growing. So these were probably just grafted within the last week, and therefore we don't see any green growth yet coming out of that little window between the tape. And generally a budder will put two buds on, kind of an insurance policy. In case one doesn't make it, there's always a second chance for the second one to come through. It is a skill. It's not just anybody can go out there with a sharp knife and just put a bud under there and call it good. So a skilled operator with a good sharp knife, I mean, it has to be a sharp knife, has to make sure that bud is exactly flat on the backside so that the cambium is matching the cambium. And that's the key to successful grafting. And the flaps actually help hold the bud tight as well to the cambium layer of the on the trunk there, and then you can see when he wraps it, he's wrapping very tightly, try to minimize all the air that's going to be in there to help keep it from drying out. But he's doing a chip butt on this one right here versus a T or an inverted T, and he has a reason for that. He probably feels it's a better chance for a take in there. That's what he did, is he removed a little piece of wood and he's doing a typical chip like you would on a rootstock. But again, just as long as cambium is matching cambium, that's the key.
So they've already relieved the hydraulic pressure right here. The trunks have already been slashed to help keep the sap flow coming up a while and let that have a time to heal. Otherwise, that sap flow would be too much on this open wound now and push that bud out, theoretically. So they come in and pre-cut these, and that's what this bleeding is down in here. It's not going to hurt the vine. It's just a very shallow cut with a saw.
Here's one that's already starting to push a little bit. Again, I put a little nick in here in the trunk to relieve some of the hydraulic pressure, and this one is actually starting to grow. And I think with all the warm weather, this is probably an indicator that this is going to take off pretty quick. And at some point, then the crew will come through and start taking off the sucker so the energy and the effort can go into that new bud. The year of grafting is really the loss of 100% crop plus the conversion, and then after that it's going forward with your new variety or new clone.
Informative, because I never knew how much out for the plant would go into propagating a vine and grafting a new branch bud onto an existing vine, and how the vine would need to be altered in order for the plant to grow. I mean, I know about pruning plants to help new growth come in a new season, but I didn't know that you needed to, for example, slash the stalk to relieve pressure so that the buds can take. This stuff wasn't familiar to me. And it helped me understand the reading a little bit better to do a little bit of digging and investigating about this. The whole reason that I got into watching these YouTube videos was because I was looking at one commentary on the gospel reading for today, and one of the writers took the reading a step further beyond what is often discussed about pruning and bearing fruit. The writer was reflecting on how if God is the tender of the vineyard, the gardener, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, that each person then makes the commitment to follow Jesus needs to be spiritually grafted into the vine, grafted into the way of life of following Jesus. To me, this was a much more concrete and graphic way of imagining choosing the life of the Spirit and becoming a part of that life than what I had really considered before. Oftentimes we think of a fairly gentle image when we think of vineyards, fruit growing and peaceful canopies of vines. So 7 times in today's gospel reading we're told that we are to abide in Christ, or that Christ abides in us. That means to me that by abiding in Christ, we are grafted into the vine of Jesus. So I wonder then, what does it mean to be grafted into the vine of Jesus as his followers? Is there a period, like in the video, of taking to the vine or the vine taking us on? Is there wound healing, scar and callus forming, as in when a bud is grafted to a vine? Oftentimes, the period when someone finds their newfound life in the Spirit is joyful and energetic, when someone starts reconnecting with their spiritual life again after a time away from church, or if they've never been before and they feel very moved by the Spirit. It can be like a real honeymoon period for people in the beginning. But what does the deep transitioning and connecting for new growth to come look like? And how does it affect the vine and the other more mature branches that grow around it? Do the vine and the older branches need to make some adjustments or sacrifices from their own energy and lives to encourage and assist in the new growth and further propagation of the vine? Just as we are told to abide in Christ and that Christ abides in us in this reading, so we are told 6 times in this reading that our purpose in this vine and branches grafting is to bear fruit. So then the question is, how do we bear spiritual fruit? As one commentator states, we, the branches, survive and thrive because we are connected to the vine. When we are connected with the vine, we flourish. If we disconnect, we will wither and die spiritually. As well, if vines are left to grow wild and unsupported, they will become weaker and less productive of fruit. The unfruitful branches need to be removed because pruning is necessary for fruit to come. So we all know about plants that grow spindly. The part that takes off towards the sun is often very weak. It'll break or die, and it needs to be cut down because it won't be productive. Meaning, for us, we may need to change our pathways to be more attentive to the healing and loving energy that can flow through us. We have to let go of spiritual burdens and impediments to allow the fullness of divine energy to flow in and through us from Jesus the vine and tended to by God the gardener. It's important for us to consider how we stay connected to the vine. Do we open ourselves up to spiritual practices, spiritual horticulture in our day-to-day lives? These practices include things such as intentional abiding in God through prayer, opening ourselves up to divine energy, cutting out what is inessential or harmful to us, and seeing our intimate connection with the other branches of the vine. When vines grow healthfully, they are so intertwined you often can't tell where one begins and the other ends. Although the vine is the source of life and energy, the branches are not passive. They must participate in their fruitfulness and support the fruitfulness of other branches. Reflecting on how we are connected to the vine is an opportunity for us to reclaim spiritual practices, to remind ourselves individually and communally what vine we are branching out from. When branches grow healthily, they are so lush and fruitful, they're so intertwined that their connection is close and intimate. So it needs to be in community. Reflecting on how we are branches coming from the spiritual vine of Jesus, it is essential to consider how not only we as individuals are affected by being fruitful in the vine, but how we support the rest of the branches. How is the health of the whole plant? This means reflecting on how healthy our community of faith is. Community is not a static institution, but a living, growing, thriving, and ever-changing organism. There's an African proverb that says, "Because we are, I am." Meaning each part of the plant affects all of the plant and all of the other parts. If one part of the plant is diseased, it can cause the other parts to lose vitality, fruitfulness, or to eventually die off. Community is not separate from our lives, it is our life. We are all inseparably connected to one another, and we need to ensure that that connection is one of mutual love and support. Do we, as a congregation and community, bear good fruit? Are we in good health in the ways that we teach, worship, welcome, encourage each other, spend money? Or are there areas of our church life that are withering, that have ceased to bear good fruit? What is it in our personal lives and in our community life that we feel that we cannot be separated from? Are these things life-giving, or are they constricting, fruitless? What in our lives, our personal lives, and our community life needs pruning? There is an intimate interdependence between God and us. While God's existence doesn't depend on our faith or on our fruitfulness, our bearing fruit enhances God's life and mission in the world. In tending to our branches, our own branch and others, we share in God's healing presence in the world and advance God's vision in our time. What nourishes Jesus, the gardener, God, will surely nourish us. If Jesus is empowered by his connection to God, do we also not need that connection? So I invite us all to reflect on what in our personal spiritual lives is not abiding in Jesus the vine, what in our congregation's life is not abiding in Jesus the vine, what in our personal spiritual life needs to be pruned, and what in our congregational life needs to be pruned as well, so that new life can grow and flourish. Will we make sure we seek out ways to renew our personal and communal connection with God regularly and faithfully? This is our challenge and our blessing. If we are the branches, are we ready and willing to share new life and new vitality as Jesus' followers? Love abounds, energy abounds, life abounds, ready to give us more than we can ask or imagine. What holds us together as individuals and as a community is how we are rooted as followers of Jesus. This is the time in our service when we ask for prayers for our world.